Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Happy Baby Friday. Fan Morning Show, Justin Cuthbert and Amos Fortfarth this morning. Sorry if I sound out of breath. I've been doing the CN Tower stair climb for the last 12 hours of my life. Living in a place that the listeners know well is not provided me with much comfort and not a lot of ease of life lately in this condominium that I live in downtown Toronto.
I don't want to say that it like only happens to you.
It only happens to me.
But I feel like you have a lot of content from, you know.
God.
Condo mishaps, so on and so forth. Like it was, the air was a problem in the summer, right? Like that was a big issue.
You know, there's people in my condo that still do not have air conditioning. Still.
Well,
and it's September 22nd.
Yesterday was the bigger issue.
Yesterday was a big issue. Okay, so we went to Leafs Media Day yesterday. I had a wonderful day. I was getting home.
No worries at all.
Not a problem in the world. I thought, wow, that was great.
Content for the next day.
It was great to meet
people.
Nothing to worry about. Saw the Leafs in person. They look great, look fit. I get home. I'm walking up to my apartment, and there's three or four fire trucks and, I don't know, 200 building residents on the street. And we're on a small side street. What is going on here? And I pull up walking and clearly there must be like a fire alarm. They must be practicing. Maybe something happened. Somebody left their straightener on. I quickly thought, was that me?
When there are hordes of people, that's the worst feeling actually in the world. That is the single worst feeling when you think like
you
there's a possibility
a lot,
that this is my problem.
What happens to you?
Or the iron.
Yeah.
Maybe the stove.
But it was starting to get alarming when I saw a lot of people.
Yes, because normally, I mean, you learn in condo life pretty quickly that you don't really leave unless, like, there's two stages of the, like, emergency process. There's, like, it's real, and there's, most of the time, this is just a thing.
So I walk into the main level of the building to just see what's going on, and there's a couple inches of water in the lobby, a couple inches of water, enough that you were like splish splashing around.
Ugh.
And I head over to the lady at the front desk who's wonderful. She's probably so overwhelmed. I said, can you just quickly tell me what's going on? She's like, there's been a flood. All of the elevators are out of service. We have three elevators. You can't be using the elevators right now because water is pouring out of the elevators. Like it is a swamp down there. And I said, okay, is the staircase available? Because I'm thinking, my poor cat, she's up there. I had all my stuff too. Not just, you obviously have a living animal in there, but like, you know, they have electronical devices that I would be interested in keeping. You know, my Sportsnet mug.
Things worth preserving.
So I'm like, is it possible? Like, can I take the stairs? And she goes, yeah. She's like, don't you live on the 28th floor? I said, hell yeah, baby. So I start to climb the staircase and it is torrential downpour in the staircase.
Like,
water shooting down the stairs.
Rushing down,
the stairs. From the, if you looked up, you know how you can look up in the staircase?
Yeah.
Water pouring straight down, water going up. I felt like I was in some sort of like heroic movie scene. I'm the only one going up the stairs. Everybody else is ripping down the stairs. People are with umbrellas in the elevator, in the staircase. I thought that's really smart. Eventually I get to the 20th floor completely out of breath. It's like drenched in sweat. It's humid. I'm soaked. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. I open the staircase door into my 28th floor. Swamp. The whole floor has another inch or two of water. And I can see my apartment door. I'm like, here we go. The three elevator units, there is, as I said, water pouring out onto the floor from the elevator. It was like Niagara Falls had opened up at the top of the 30th floor and poured down. I go into my apartment. Not a drip of water.
Really?
Not a drip of water.
I was thinking that might be the result because, you know, I was tracking your stories
and
on
it
Instagram.
Stopped.
And it stopped. There wasn't like the indoor, like it was either really bad or you got really lucky somehow based on what I'd saw.
I got very lucky because I'm at the very end of the hallway.
So everything's funneling away.
Everything is in the, I think there's 12 units on the floor. If you're not in unit 1, 2, or I'm in like 9, 10, the corners, you're screwed. And so it started on the 30th floor And every single floor underneath the 30th floor has watered every single floor, all the way down to 2, where it's the condo gym. It's a disaster. There, all night long, I'm hearing fans, people like Swiffering and pushing water off their balconies. It's awful. I'm so lucky, but man, so anyway, long story short, they send 4 or 5 emails. Hello, just an email to all residents. There's a flood. Yeah, you think? Basically what happened is they had a vendor in and the vendor cut the sprinkler line accidentally.
Really?
How do you make that mistake? That's your job, buddy. That is your job to come in here and fix whatever was already going on, and they cut the line to the sprinkler system. Accidentally cut a sprinkler line while doing their work, causing a flood.
Like, there are jobs where you're responsible for things, right?
Like, that would be probably your
role. But, like, there are bigger ones, like a surgeon, like the consequences of not having a good day, right? Pretty severe. And it doesn't compare to this. But, like, I don't know. That's something we don't have to worry about, obviously, talking and writing about sports. But, like, you just make one mistake, and the amount of damage, the money that it's going to cost, like, I can't even...
The money.
How does a building come back from severe... I don't even know, honestly. I don't know how a building comes back from severe water
damage. Quite a few emails, and they don't know either.
Like, it'll never be the same.
No, it will. Like, this morning leaving, I also had to take the stairs down, which is going to be my life now. First of all, they just said that there won't be elevators for a while. And I thought, well, what if you're an elderly person or you have a baby with a stroller, or good thing I got groceries 2 days ago. I'm not lugging up milk.
You're going to be ready to go back with the
honestly, I'm going to be so
the
fit.
Thunder.
The
PWHPA gonna be ready to go.
Is going to come calling because I walked up those stairs and I was like, wow, I am completely out of shape. But this got me thinking, and I think 590 would be fun to sprinkle. Get it? Sprinkle those in. What is a task, an athletic task that humbles you every time you do it? Me walking the stairs, like, I'm out of breath. I could be fittest I've ever been in my life, pristine D1 hockey player shape. Stairs, they get me every time. It's just, it's humbling. It's a different type of atmosphere and different type of health that you need. So I'm going to be super fit by the end of this week. All right.
It's weird how, like, specific cardio is. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be like a really good cyclist or whatever, but if you're like walking up a hill with someone and you're out of breath for some reason, it's just like, it's actually really embarrassing.
Do you have
one? I hate that. I mean, stairs, I think, would be it. Like, that's when I notice it. Like, I was just like at like a bachelor party weekend and we're walking up a slight hill and I'm the one talking, like, where it's like a conversation, but I'm like telling like a story or whatever. And all of a sudden I'm like breathing and he's not. And I'm just like, is this me or is it because I'm talking? And that's really embarrassing if like you're the one that's getting exposed in that situation.
The second one I had that I was
something
thinking
about
of,
going up, though.
Yeah, well, maybe it's you need the altitude mask that you train. When I went to Calgary for training camp, sometimes you would wear one of those masks that help you breathe, like, mountain air.
Yes.
Husking corn.
Husking corn.
Husking corn is a workout.
This is mine. If I'm doing anything around the house, if I'm cleaning, I'm, like, sweating. And, like, that doesn't happen.
God,
like,
scrubbing?
How does a cleaning service, like, spend 8 hours a day?
No, they're fit.
Cleaning. And, like, they're good. But I'm going one pass vacuuming, and I need a shower after. Like, that is embarrassing. And that's what happens to me. I guess it tells you how much I'm, like, doing chores and such.
Well, if you'd like to follow the chronicles of my stair endeavor for the next probably week.
You're going to have to do Good Samaritan stuff here. Like, because you're one of the 100%. Able-bodied. And you have one of the condos that is... not been affected by this.
I know. I owe a lot to the people. When I went downstairs this morning, I walked by and there's about maybe 25 Uber Eats things sitting in the lobby. Nobody had the call. Well, nobody went down to get it.
I mean, are like kitchens completely demolished? I guess. I think I would assume the one thing that's safe would be the refrigerators, though. Anyway.
I'm very blessed.
I'm glad that things
I'm very
are good.
Grateful for
I had a feeling
being
things
at
were
the
okay.
end of the hallway because I dealt with having no air conditioning for months. So I think the higher power said that's enough for her.
Although everybody else in the building too, right?
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so we went to least needed today. That was how I started my day without ending it as a stair climber. We got some actual tangible pieces of information. Lilia Grin is going to be out for a little while, 6 weeks after being diagnosed with a hernia injury. He had surgery last week and is recovering. And I know yesterday or the day before they said that he wasn't going to be at camp. that's why he's not going to be at camp. Mm-hmm. Engvall as well.
A little bit more of a surprise.
Had an ankle injury. He's going to be reevaluated the week of October 3rd. So he's got a little bit of time off as well.
He'll likely be back before Liljegren, though, based on
yes.
the timelines. Liljegren had some surgery.
Good math.
Thank you.
Rasmus Sandin still unattending camp because of the contract situation.
Right.
That was a pretty common question, especially with some of the players that had previously faced this type of contract dispute.
Yeah.
Interesting to get their takes, like Marner and Nylander. Like, what's it like
Nylander
when this
was
is happening?
Hilarious with that.
He's like, I actually don't even remember what I was doing that day. Like, you know, the line of questioning was really great. Like, what was it like, you know, you're away, the team's starting training camp? And he's like, well, honestly, I don't even know what I was doing that day. Like,
yeah.
It sucks, but
that's
he was funny.
Couldn't be more William Nylander, which is great.
He was funny. And then...
And a little bit of contentiousness, too, like that you'd expect. Like,
for sure.
Dubas wasn't, like, exactly
he wasn't
like,
pumped about it.
Yeah, he was, you know, he's putting some of the blame on Sandin, mm-hmm. and rightfully so.
Speaking of Dubas, probably the biggest storyline, I expect you to probably agree with that, was Dubas coming out right away and saying, I have not been given an extension.
Mm-hmm.
We had a conversation late this summer, him and Shanahan, that this will be, you know, my final contract year, and I want to be evaluated on everything I've done this last 5 years in this position. And I expect that to be the way that I'm held accountable for. So coming out, making that statement before he's even asked about it, he said, like, this is going to be, like, the last time that I'd like to talk about it as mm-hmm. well. This is where we're at. Let's move forward with the season.
So everything the Leafs do is intentional, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every, like, all this day was planned as such to lead with that news. Not that it's like, you know, oh, we're trying to hide something or whatever. Like, oh, there would be other reasons to be intentional, but this was the big news item, mm-hmm. and they got out in front of it. They actually allowed other people media members to ask players and such about
which
Kyle,
I thought was great.
Which was actually a good thing for Kyle, because one thing that I've learned, and we're going to do like our what matters or what we learned from media day, is that the thickest thieves, Dubas and the players, and rightfully so, because he made them rich men and you know, maybe a little bit more rich than they needed to be, but that's another discussion for another day. But the most important news item, they led with it. Dubas didn't let it linger. And I was sort of questioning myself a little bit talking to Frank Saravelli yesterday, because it wasn't on his radar,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're, you know, obviously more immersed in the market than he is. But this was the big thing. The big thing coming out of Leafs camp, the first day of Leafs camp, is that their general manager is a lame duck general manager. He does not have any security beyond this season. It seems as though whatever happens this year will determine his fate. And I wonder if it's the right move, not because like he's deserved a contract extension, but it is an awkward position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that MLSE doesn't necessarily need to put themselves in, because they could give him a contract extension and fire him whenever they want.
Yeah, there's like, no rules against that.
The extra whatever $1 million that you're going to have to pay him while he's not being the general manager or acting as the general manager, it doesn't matter to them. Mm-hmm. So I like, they could have stomached the cost to avoid this PR situation, but maybe they believe it's the best situation to be in. And Kyle Dubas isn't shying away for that. He says he wants the pressure. I mean, what else are you going to say? You're backed into a corner. But this is like last dance, do or die stuff. And maybe because they do care about each other, at least it seems, that it's something that helps his team. And maybe that's what they're banking on. It's like it's a stretch, pushing, you know, trying to create our own narrative a little bit. But I'm trying to figure out reasons why they didn't give him an extension, other than the fact that the team success hasn't been there. And that's all I can really come up with, because I feel like they could have avoided this if they wanted to, but they are embracing it.
I think it's going to be a very interesting season ahead when we look back at this being his contract year as well. Are we going to, first of all, a couple questions when this came out. What would have happened if we found this out, if we knew that they had this conversation right when the season ended? Would we reevaluate free agency? Would we say, oh, Kyle Dubas didn't know that this was his final year and he didn't do a lot, and now he finds out late in the summer, is what he said, that him and Shanahan had this conversation. Would things have been different at free agency, him knowing that he's got a, you know, play for his contract? I think personally that Dubas isn't a guy that's going to act brash. I think this season he's still going to be the Kyle Dubas we've seen for 5 years, the Kyle Dubas that's been Kyle Dubas in his career. I don't picture him starting to act differently now that he has to balance the needs of what he has today and what he has in the future. But I think certainly there's going to be conversations at the trade deadline this year too. What you do at this trade deadline, are you going to go even more in on things because you know that this is your last kick at the can? Are you going to be level-headed and think about this core? The biggest, those will be two questions that we'll have to, I'm sure we'll have a conversation about moving forward, is how is his legacy going to be defined this year? Even though he wants to be evaluated on 5 years of his performance, mm-hmm. whatever happens,
kept saying that too,
whatever happens, yes, whatever happens in spring, well. Is that's going to be how we evaluate it. I'm sorry, if they don't make the playoffs, I think it's going to be difficult to say, well, for 5 years.
Well, why do you think he kept saying that?
I don't know. I thought that was really interesting.
I think he wants you to point A from point B. Where did I start, and where are we now? And if we were like hovering around the 95 point range when I took over,
and look at us,
and
now
we're hanging out at 120. Regularly, even if we haven't had postseason success, or if we get through the first round and it's still like, oh, but you know, you've got one postseason victory in 5 years, is that enough for you to get a contract extension? Well, he wants you to be like, hey, look where we came from, look where we
are. But he also said right away, our goal is to win the division and win the Stanley Cup.
Yes,
that is our goal this season. So I don't think you can personally,
he didn't help himself there, I guess.
You can't say, look at me for 5 years of my full development as a GM, but also, this is our goal, and if we don't achieve it, that's failure. That's what I'm telling you here on day one, that that is our goal, and that's what we want to get to. I think I'm really actually inspired by him putting himself on the line. This is his legacy. He is believing in this core, which he has said for 5 years, and now he's running it back. It's the ultimate sign of faith in this team. It's also ultimate also sign of, it's kind of a risk with your future and your career and your potential future roles as a GM.
Yep.
To put everything in this basket one more time and run it back, and knowing that you have how many months till the end of the season?
He is sticking to his guns, and there's something that is endearing about that. Mm-hmm. Like he said many years ago, we can and we will. We'll win with these four guys. And he hasn't wavered from that. And I do think that says that impacts the players, certainly the players that are involved in this core discussion. They know that Kyle has their back, and I do think that is important. Mm-hmm. It may turn out to be foolish in the end. It may end up costing him his job, but he literally said it last year that he would bet his career on it.
And he is.
And he's bet his career on it. He's stuck to his word, which is at least admirable in that sense. You mentioned when the information got to him. I can't imagine that he just found out late in the summer. Like this
but that's
wasn't
how
something
he said it. So
he, and that's another thing. He didn't come out and say it. He didn't. He was beating around the bush a little bit, just like, yeah, I don't have a deal, is what he said right away. But like, what were the mechanics behind that? Was it like Shanahan came to him late in the summer and like just said, this isn't happening, you have to do this or else? Did it happen at the start of summer? And again, that goes to your point of like, when was he able? When did he know? And how did that affect what he did in the summer? I don't think. He didn't act irrationally at all in the summer. I think it was a very, it was actually overly protective of the future, I think, what he did this summer, not signing any long-term deals other than Cal Yarncroc, keeping the books very, very clean for Austin Matthews. There's basically no long-term investment beyond Morgan Riley. Like even Marner 1 year after, Tavares 1 year after, Nylander in concert. Cal Yarncroc's the longest. Kelly Yarncroc and Morgan
and
Riley,
Morgan
the longest,
Riley, yeah.
longest deals.
We're going to be the longest
Even Brody
leafs
and,
at this point.
Brody and Muzzin coming up at that same time. So it's like, I am not going full Alex Anthopoulos and burning the boats here. I'm not going to sacrifice the future of this team for myself. And I think that's admirable as well. So Kyle Dubas is welcoming this challenge. He's got to walk it because he's talked it the last 5 years. And he's doing that. So I think you can at least give him that credit.
What would the temperature have been if this offseason, after the free agency, they signed Kyle Dubas to a five-year extension? Do you think that Leafs fans in Toronto and Toronto media would have been? I think there's a little bit of a PR spin on this too.
It would have been very tough. I think they could have done 1 year.
1 year is the only thing I thought they could have done differently and said, hey, we'll give you 1 year and then we'll reevaluate.
And I think the rationale behind that could have been, what happens July 1st? It's very, very important to have no one in that seat when Austin Matthews comes up
God.
For possible extension talks. Like, that is a big issue here. if they just don't have someone steering the ship on July 1, what sort of confidence is Austin Matthews going to have in the franchise? I think he truly does like Kyle Dubas, and why not? Kyle Dubas has given the world, and he wants the world again. We can only assume. So it feels like, hey, at least just to protect that time of the year or that time in the Maple Leafs history, it would have been worth having that year extension. And it's no skin off your back when it's a major, major organization with oodles of money in a sport that keeps costs so low for teams, and you're a juggernaut. Like, you, they belong in a different league in terms of their finances compared to the rest of the league. So you could have afforded that. But maybe this is the best position to be in.
Well, the best position to be in, I think, right now, if you're a Leafs fan, is that if this happens again, there is no question there will be change. There'll be significant change. And I think a lot of people have called for that the year before, the year before, the year before. I really do think that if there aren't success, and what is success is another question. Is it just one win in the first round of the playoffs? It feels like if they can't get over the hump, Dubas and this core could see a significant shakeup. And he wants that accountability, though. And that, for me, if I'm a player, which I have been, you know that this guy that has helped you get to this level and has helped you make a lot of money, and you have, there's clearly no doubt that the players have a lot of faith in Kyle.
He's kept his promise to us.
You,
over and over again.
You're not telling me there's a 0% chance that makes you play a little bit, not better, but you have that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, can this affect performance?
It's on you this year too. Like, he's like, the core players need to perform this year as well. The GM has said, this is what we're doing. The coaching staff is going to be the same. So there's a lot more pressure on their shoulders as well. This is not just a Kyle Dubas needs to play for his career.
It would be we don't know how much it matters to the players. We can sort of assume, we can make some inferences based on what we heard.
And they said that
too. At the end of the day, I don't think it matters in the end, honestly. But I don't think this is this isn't a regular GM relationship with the players, I think. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit on this. It's possible. But I feel like there's a better relationship here. There's more of a family atmosphere. There's less separation between church and state. It's not like these players are cattle in what the Leafs management team is trying to do. Like, it seems like they're trying to have a culture where everyone's got each other's back. And that is one of the positive qualities about what the Maple Leafs have cultivated recently. I just don't know how that can really affect on-ice performance. I will ask you, is there any, if they don't get past the first round even more, is there any chance he's back? And is there any way, any scenario you see Dubas getting an extension mid-season? Is there any way he can possibly spin that?
I don't see a mid-season. The way that it was set up.
There's nothing they can do, right?
The way that it was set up this year and in yesterday's conversations is, I think the evaluation comes at the end of this year.
Yeah.
And that's what he also said. He wants to be held accountable for everything he's done here.
And that means it's got to happen before July
1st. Well, think about last year. The Maple Leafs' best season ever. You could have argued for.
There's nothing they can do.
A mid-season extension there.
Yeah. There's nothing the team can do this season.
In the middle of the season,
to be justified, right?
It's like how it,
if
this
it was going to happen for Dubas,
goes.
It had to happen over these last 4 months.
100%.
So it's going to be a tricky spot. It's going to be a tricky spot unless the Leafs have success. And if they do have another 120-point season win around, I think it guarantees Dubas is back. Because at least there's we did it again. We're an elite team. We got past this major hurdle.
And you believed in this team and the way you constructed it.
And Austin Matthews, the specter of the Austin Matthews.
So that's the second part of this conversation. I think we're just going through the things that mattered to us most. I think, did that matter the most to you? Kyle Dubas is...
Yeah, my main impression was that it really is do or die for Dubas. And I think we basically went through most of what I was talking about. We mentioned the full body work. Feel like that was his I'm trying to save my that was the one thing that he was trying to work that was intentional on his part. There was a falling on the sword martyr a sort of thing going on too, narrative where he's this is on me, I'm going to take it. And I don't know if he's forced into that or that is what he was wanting to do. But either way, it seems like the main takeaway is that the success and failure, good or bad, will go on Kyle Dubas in the end.
We do have a clip, if you want to hear like the tone and the wording of this, on his future, Kyle Dubas, from yesterday.
We're an organization that preaches accountability, and in my position, I don't view myself as any different. In fact, I believe I have to be held the most accountable. With that said, I fully expect to be judged on the full body of my work over the five-year term of my contract, and I have zero issue with being evaluated over the entire body of work here. I have full belief in our players, in our staff, in our group, and that we're going to have a great season. And my focus every single day will be on continuing to support them, continuing to make the decisions that put the team in the best position in the short and the long run. And I think anybody that truly knows me or that it's ever worked with me knows that that's all I'll do every single day is pour everything I have into doing what's right for the Toronto Maple Leafs and setting the team, continuing to set the team up for success in the short and long run.
Part of that, I think, really bleeds into what happens next with Austin Matthews. And he was on this podium yesterday as well. Initial first question that was given to him was about his future.
He dodged that one.
He dodged that a bit. It was okay. We expected like the question about Nathan MacKinnon's contract and how that made you feel.
So that was an easy slip, right? Yeah. Like you could slip that punch, but when
it was asked
directly,
he was like,
later.
Oh, you know, I feel for the guy's great guy earned it. Like we said yesterday, but then doubled down to, you know, what does this make you think about
his effect
right now?
I think he was asked about, you know, does the team success factor into your decision making next summer? I think that was exactly how it was phrased.
We have the clip we'll play first of Austin Matthews on his next contract and some of the questions that came from his response.
You know, when that time comes, we'll deal with it. But I think I've been pretty clear. I've loved my time here. I really love playing in the city of Toronto. I think, you know, I consider it home now. So I've really enjoyed my time. My teammates have been incredible year after year. You know, it's nice to have the support that this city brings. And obviously, we're all working towards that one ultimate goal. So there's nothing that can be done. I'm under contract for two more years. I can't extend for another 10 months. So I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Technically, all that is accurate. Like, he can't extend for another 10 months.
Right.
He also said, we didn't get that in the clip, this will be the last time I talk about this season. Same with actually Dubas saying, this will be the last time I talk about my contract. Matthews followed suit and said, this will be the last time I talk about this year. I know you guys want to talk about it, but this is it. Moving on.
Yeah. And that's completely fair. And that's how
100%.
It should be. This was the first and only chance until the end of the season, I think. I mean, he'll probably be asked about it again.
And everyone will write about it, and we'll have this conversation, but we won't be able to ask him about it.
This is the only time he owed an answer, I think. And even then, he might not have. We talked about yesterday, like, he can soothe concerns in some ways, and I think his affection for the city, calling it home, I think that is an attempt to do that. I think he stopped short of, like,
I want to stay here for the rest of my career.
Yes.
Wouldn't
that
have been nice?
That would have been, like, that would have been, you know, party in the streets. That would have been fantastic. But my main takeaway here, and why he didn't say that, is that this guy is completely unflinching. He is so... The confidence just radiates off him. Confidence just radiates off him. I'm sure you picked up on the same thing, right? The Nate deal doesn't matter because... Not that it's like, you know, a year or 2 years out and 2 years between contracts, because Austin Matthews just doesn't allow it to matter. Being 10 months out of negotiations doesn't matter. He knows his worth completely. He knows how important he is. He knows more than anything that the ball is firmly in his court, right? He knows what should and shouldn't be said. Like, you don't even have to coach this guy, I don't think. I don't think this situation is going to bother him at all. I actually think he probably finds it mildly entertaining.
Yeah, he was kind of laughing about it.
And I think it could be confirmation bias on my end a little bit, but I just took this as, like, he knows who he is. He'd love to be here and be who he is here, but he's not going to make a concession to be here, right?
He didn't close, like, the door.
I think... If he wants the world, he's going to get the world. And if Toronto gives him the world, great. If not, he'll be completely happy.
He'll find another way.
He's going to find the world. So I actually think it was probably positive from the Matthews standpoint yesterday, because I think the Leafs are going to do everything they can to retain him. And I think they will be able to, based on who he is as a hockey player, his affection for this city, and the fact that he can be the biggest thing in hockey for a very long time if he stays here. And I think, you know, I don't know if we soothe concerns, as I mentioned, but I don't think that was a bad
I don't think appearance. New concerns raised for me.
No new concerns?
No new concerns Similar raised concerns. From this.
The biggest concern to me is how Dubas is related to this Matthews thing.
100%.
Because if he really appreciates Dubas, which he should, and you are in disarray as an organization next summer, Matthews might be like, hey, I got to see where this goes. Yep. And if you see where it goes beyond July 1, you open yourself up for things to change.
Feels like it's very tied together. And it should, like, two people's contracts shouldn't be, but it really, as you said, that family feel, that I believe in you and you believe in me. A lot is riding on the season, even more so finding out that Dubas's contract is basically going to be evaluated by this playoff success. And also Matthews not shutting the door that this isn't going to be his long-term home. But then I thought about it. Did I really think that Austin Matthews was going to say, I want to be here forever? No, because there's
no, because he's that if he gives up even an ounce of leverage doing that, he won't do it.
Exactly. It's all about leverage. It was interesting. Like, was his agent there? Like, who was helping him with this story? Like, he was really well prepared for this answer.
Yes.
And he chose his words in a way that there's all the quote graphics yesterday about, this is my home, I love Toronto. But there wasn't the quote about, I want to be here forever. And that is a tiny thing that I think Leafs fans are left wanting. But in reality, like, did I think he was going to say that? No, it's all about leverage.
In reality, this organization still has to prove something to him too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he of course wears the success and failure. He's the biggest, most impactful player. He did play well in the playoffs last year. Maybe he left a little bit to be desired. Maybe he wasn't quite Cale Makar level, Connor and Leon at times during that playoff run for the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe he wasn't at that level, but he was very, very good. And it's on the organization to help him take it where it needs to go, right? Spinning it forward just on the thing about, like, the relationship between Dubas and Matthews. I found myself wondering yesterday, could Austin Matthews have so much power that he helps Kyle Dubas when it comes to job security? Like, let's say Austin Matthews at the end of the season says, I believe in Kyle. I want him here. I want to sign a contract with him this summer. If you're the Leafs, you retain Kyle Dubas based on that alone, don't you? Yes. And I don't expect that to happen. But if Austin Matthews wants Kyle Dubas around, what more leverage does Kyle Dubas need? Like,
there's nothing I think that Austin Matthews couldn't ask for and get from this organization. Yeah. The captaincy, sure.
That's another thing. That's my third point, or stems off my third point.
Okay. I mean, we're going to continue to talk about this. We have Luke Fox on at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock with Luke Fox, and then Gord Stellick at 8. Mm-hmm. Way more analysis of Leafs Media Day.
Do you want to do our third point quick?
Yeah, let's do our third point quick.
And we don't have to belabor the point here. I just found that John Tavares had a new level of self-awareness. He literally said the words, aware. I'm aware of this. And I think that means, like, he said something about young players making huge strides from season to season. And what he's learned is that he can only squeeze in small improvements now at his age. And that's something he's been working on. He's tried to add small things to his game to round his game out as his role changes. He said that. That's a direct quote. So the role is changing. Sure, he needs to do other things to be as productive as he needs to be, you know, with 3 years left on his contract here. But I wonder if he's self-aware enough to cough up the captaincy next summer if Austin Matthews signs a deal. No?
To cough it up?
If awareness is rushing over you, like it seems to be with John Tavares, where I have to be a different player.
What about a Blake Wheeler situation? Are you, like, cross-comparing them? I don't think it'll be
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's more of an honorary thing. Like, this is Matthews' team.
Okay, then I see
he's going to be here for the next 8 years. I got two more years. Let's let him lead this team now. I can see that being, if he's totally self-aware, which he kept saying maybe that's something that happens, but it's really unimportant. The more important things, do these small things add up to make John Tavares the sort of player that's justifying an $11 million salary? And at least it's good to hear that. Mm-hmm. I don't like how, last season's like, oh, he doesn't work with William Nylander and Alexander Kerfoot, and yet that's how they're starting the season. Like, they didn't shy away from that. This is
that's
our
part
second
of my
line.
Third point. That
our
I
second
got.
Line is our second line, and we weren't able to do anything about it.
I think it was Sheldon Keefe that was asked about the chemistry between Willie and John, and he was like, you know what, I'm not worried about their chemistry. I'm worried about them just being the stars or the players that they are.
Yeah.
That was something that was interesting to me. And also, there's an open spot widely shopping who's going to play on that wing. I thought Keefe seemed really confident about the depth and the options that he has in that bottom six.
I think he said it was best that
the
since
best he's,
taken he's over.
Ever had yep. in terms of options.
And that's with losing Mikheyev and mm-hmm. you
which
know,
is
a lot
interesting because I don't know how many of us would have agreed right away. But mm-hmm. they signed a lot of guys that have something to prove, and he seems extremely confident and inspired by the options that he has to fill a that second line wing position and a lot of the bottom six that is question mark. So roster battles is something we talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. at least in net. He said to, I think he felt confident that that's going to be something that happens. We also saw Matt Murray talk, but Keefe kind of saying, hey, this is a really important time for you to earn your spot. And all these faces, including Nick Robertson,
yeah,
could be somebody that needs to make an imprint and an impact in the next week or two to get that spot. And also, we're going to see a lot of variety. He said, what you see on the weekend is not yeah. what you're going to see. I'm going to try a lot of things. So try a lot of things is kind of the opportunity you've been given with these players that are new.
Yeah, the only thing we should probably expect to be consistent would be that Matthews, Marner, and Bunting will be playing together. He didn't shy away from that. He's going to go back to that well. And I think that's the right move. But like, if you're trying to get more out of John Tavares, is Mitch Marner the solution to that maybe one day? At least not right now, mm-hmm. it seems like. But Keefe is the right person to ask about that because he's the one that seemed unhappy with Tavares and Nylander in terms of their partnership last year. He made the decision to split mm-hmm. them up. Sure, it's a collaborative thing. He makes the lineup decisions, though. And he wasn't happy with it. He didn't seem happy with it at the end of last year when he was talking about it and what needs to happen maybe in the summer. He wasn't assisted in that regard at all. And now he's going back to it and kind of tiptoeing around the answer, as you mentioned. So the second line is one to watch here.
Yeah.
How is this going to work with Tavares? How is it going to work with Nylander this year? And do they have someone to help those two out? Because Kerfoot has proven he's kind of at his best when he's outside of that relationship. He's been good with Nylander at times, but that's when he's playing the center ice position more often than not. So there's a lot to figure out after those top three. And that's Sheldon Keefe's job here. But he seems happy about it, which is...
Yeah.
I don't think we should expect anything otherwise, but... I generally did believe him mm-hmm. when he said, I got a lot here and I got to figure it out.
A lot of puzzle pieces to place, which can be an exciting way to approach training camp. Luke Fox is going to be down there at day one today at training camp. We'll get some thoughts on that before it starts and possibly how it shakes out for the next couple of days. Well, as I said, we'll continue chatting Leafs media day, but Blue Jays last night in action as well, lost in extra innings to the Phillies, score of 4-3. Gausman, good bounce back outing.
He was good.
Eight strikeouts, six innings pitched, five hits, zero earned runs. It was a pretty quiet game until the eighth. Blue Jays get a 3-0 lead and then find a way to lose.
Yeah, that was a less than inspiring loss. For several reasons. It was good. It was a good night for that voice in the back of my head that keeps telling me, despite what the numbers say and the results say, that bullpen's not good enough. And you watch Gausman's
new player
outing wasted the way it was. A big moment for Vladdy. Just an absolute
man, that was
bomb
a laser.
Off his back. It was just
if you were paying
so
attention,
beautiful.
That ball would have knocked you out.
Yeah, that was a bomb. But yeah, this is, the second or third straight time that Jimmy Garcia's coughed up runs. Mm-hmm. Second straight blown save for Jordan Romano. It's quickly squandered in the 10th inning with Adam Simber. I just keep thinking in the back of my head, this bullpen isn't the 2015 Royals. It's mm-hmm. not the 2016 then Indians, now Guardians. Like, those are obviously the, things that are relevant to Blue Jays history. So they keep popping into my head. It's just not overwhelming back there in any regard. And Romano, sort of his approach to that Kyle Schwarber at bat, I don't know.
So
it's always mm-hmm. been in the back of my head and I've been trying to like push it aside, but it's there for me where I just don't trust that bullpen can overwhelm good hitting.
I thought disappointing to be up 3-0 in the eighth inning with your eighth inning guy and your ninth inning guy ready, available, and
the main
to be played.
Players, the main players in postseason action.
Who are going to be your guys.
Yeah.
Second blown Jordan Romano save in a row. Four outs. He's been able to do that many times. Second within the last week that he blows it. Listening to Blair and Barker post game. Slider, slider, slider. It needs to be moved off of the slider. He needs to be able to.
He didn't want to attack Schwarber.
He didn't. And I think.
And what does that mean?
The pitch selection between him and the rest of the guys at the end of that game seemed to be a large question mark. We'll have Julia Kreutz on at 7:30 as well. I want to get her take on when do you start to say, hey, this isn't working for me. I need to switch something up. Seemed like yesterday would have been a great opportunity to do so. A tough loss. The Phillies are a hungry team. They were fighting till the end there. The Blue Jays still have a 2-game lead.
Mariners and Rays lost as well, right?
That was helpful.
So, I mean, you could separate yourself. Again, mm-hmm. This is all about getting home field advantage. So that makes it sting, but also they didn't lose ground. So that's, I guess, the glass half full look.
But seeing Kevin Gausman, he had a little bit of a question mark September. I like that, what he did. Kind of felt like a blown opportunity to give that guy a little bit of a win.
I think the first six outs were strikeouts for Gausman.
Yeah, it
looked very, very good.
It was
a very Kevin Gausman outing mm-hmm. in that everything that was hit fell in early for him, and he was getting himself out of jams by just striking everybody out. But that was a very, very good outing. And I think we felt good about him being that second guy mm-hmm. in the postseason as we've been talking about it. More confirmation that, you know, we should feel good about that, and we should feel good if he goes deep into the ballgame.
And we should feel good about Vlad. He's now got the 14-game hit streak, I think longest in the AL at least. First time he's homered off a pitch 99-plus miles per hour in his whole career. Has he turned the corner? Starting to
And that helped that ball leave the yard.
Whew, did it ever. Let's take a break. We'll do the A-list next. We got Luke Fox on at 7, Julia Kreutz 7:30, and then finishing it out with Gord Stellick, and then setting up Thursday Night Football. Great show ahead. It's a Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Justin Cuthbert filling in today alongside me, the queen of the A-list. Let's do it.
Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, so it's Aaron Judge watch, of course, today, tomorrow, yesterday, this week. First tidbit is that Friday is an Apple TV game, and he might hit history, and you're not going to get...
Oh, man.
You're not going to get the legendary call that you want. I don't even know who does the Apple TV. I'm sorry.
How mad is Michael K right
yep.
now?
There's a chance that this is going to happen on Friday night, significant chance, and Apple TV, which I don't even know how you... Honestly, I've never watched one Apple TV game, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, that threw me for a huge loop last weekend.
When the
Jays were on.
I'll watch
Jays Orioles,
Jays
right?
in 30 the next day.
Yeah, that was, it's, I mean, I think I can get it, but it's just such a weird,
too much effort, Justin.
I think their Sportsnet's doing a good job throwing Yankee games on right now, so you can track
it.
But
not Friday.
But it won't be Friday. I honestly, that is like the worst thing that could ever happen to the YES Network,
yep.
Yankees Entertainment, whatever.
Yep.
Like, imagine losing out on that moment when you own the team. You're the broadcasting
bad.
Partner, and you're not going to get this moment. You're not going to get the call from your broadcaster. That would be a disaster.
It could happen.
I hope it happens just for the banter.
That's gutless of you. Okay, so he did hit his 600th home run ball, and
what? 600th?
60th. I'm still exhausted from the stairs, Justin. He hit his 60th home run.
Roger Maris could never.
That's crazy. We have the home run clip, but I'm not going to play that. We have a 20-year-old, Michael Kessler, So if you watch the home run ball go in the stands, it's a legitimate brawl. Like, people are jumping down multiple rows to get this ball, understandably, which you don't even understand what's going to happen when that next one
happens.
Someone
said it's like judges hitting lottery winning lottery tickets 100%. Into the seats.
100%. Yeah. So 20-year-old Michael Kessler catches or grabs the ball, decides to come to the Yankees game last minute. He gets Aaron Judge's historic 60th home run ball, estimated to be worth $50,000 to $500,000. He gives it back to Aaron Judge. Here's the clip.
One more thing. If you met Aaron Judge, what would you say to him?
I don't know. I'd just try anything to come back next year, help the heart and soul of the ball club.
Wait. Before you go, do you have any expectations about catching the ball and receiving something in return?
No, just wanted to give him back that test story. So any way I could give back to Judge, given so much to the organization, just do my part.
Simp. I cannot believe this kid just wants to give the ball back to Aaron. So half of me is like, this is really sweet. And this guy is like, that's really nice. But give back to Aaron Judge? Like, this guy's fine. You're going to get some signed baseball bats and a ball and a picture with Aaron Judge. I don't know where I stand in this, but just listening to him, he's like, oh, you just want to give back to Aaron Judge. Okay, I don't know in this position what I would do, but this ball could be worth $500,000.
Okay, listening to him, I think he's sincere. But when I first read about this, I thought this is a major misguided gamble on his part. Like, he's thinking, I'm going to play the hero card here.
The hero card,
and
yes.
I'm going to be like, I'm just going to give it back because that's the right thing to do, with the expectation that Judge will come over the top and be like,
keep it.
You know what?
Season tickets forever.
Yeah, I'll sign it for you, or I'll do this for you. I'll give you a jersey on top of it so that in 25 years you can sell it for an exorbitant amount. Like, he's trying to like bait Judge into that.
Judge's like, thanks.
And Judge will just be like, hey, thanks, man. I'll just, what do you want?
Pick?
Like a bat? I'll give you a bat. One of my practice.
So what would you do?
My batting practice bats. I mean, I wouldn't be in the bleachers in the first place.
Come on. I don't care. What would you do? You get the ball.
If I get the ball, I'm selling it.
Okay, so I want to know, 590, 590. I think there's going to be a split on this because I think some people have a bigger heart than us, and that's fine.
I'm not a memorabilia guy.
What's
going to
happen with
something
number
worth $500,000? Actually, no. I would keep it, and I would sell it in the future.
Yeah.
But I would get a little squeamish if someone else is hanging around the 60 home run mark because I want to have the record ball. Mm-hmm.
The record ball, which could be Friday Night Apple TV.
And that's another thing. This thing depreciates in value immediately when it hits another one, no?
So,
all these balls are going to be worth half a mil each.
Like 59, 60,
he's gonna
61.
He's going to throw a better lottery ticket into the
he's
seats.
He's throwing the $1 billion lottery ticket
exactly.
Soon. So you have the $1 million.
Sell that ball right away.
I agree.
The ball right away.
So what would you do, 590, 590? What is going to happen with this historic ball? What if he hits it and it doesn't go
bloodshed.
Into...
That's what's going to happen.
Honestly. What if he hits it and it goes like behind the bullpen, like, you know, where they're warming up in the outfield, like the pitchers, and it actually doesn't go into the stands?
Someone's going to jump out of the
Somebody
stands
will
into
jump,
the lower
like,
bowl.
They'll sacrifice their life for this ball.
Be great if it went into like an opposing bullpen and like Jimmy Garcia caught it or something like that.
Come on.
Little signing bonus. But he would be...
Honestly.
He would be obligated probably to give it to the Yankees.
Here we go. No,
what I do if I was a Blue Jays reliever that catch it, I would immediately throw it into the stands.
Damn. Here's some text. Noah in Newmarket. I, for one, applaud the kid. That's the marker of not just a Yankees fan, but a baseball fan. I would definitely give him his ball back. I don't care if I get anything in return. Dude, that is a historic accomplishment, not me.
I think he'll get something out of this, but it will not amount to what he could get for just selling the ball.
James, I'd ask for season tickets, playoff tickets, etc. God, there's lots of nice people up this
morning.
He's
such a Yankee fan that would probably make him happy. That kid, at least it seemed.
Judge is about to be worth 500 schmil. Sell the damn thing. Are you crazy? Eric in Georgetown.
Shout out Eric Georgetown.
Here's a good one. Corey in the PEF. That's Pefferla. Shout out Pefferla. Lots of people will say they would give it back. Until the moment it actually arrives in their hands and greed takes over, I'd sell it. They get paid to be there. I have to pay to be there.
I also think you're in the bleachers for a reason. Just you want that, like you want to scrap it out for that ball.
Imagine it hit.
Imagine the atmosphere. No, no.
Imagine the WestJet flight deck if that ball landed in the WestJet flight deck.
I was also thinking like you know, Matthews chasing 60 goals last year. Mm-hmm. What if like every puck was, it was like a fight for every goal in the seats? Like, that's obviously not possible. But imagine if Austin Matthews, on his way to scoring just, these goals,
just threw the puck in the stands and said, here you go.
It's just like, you know, thousands of dollars being fought over at Scotiabank Arena every night. It's a really cool thing about baseball and home runs and the home run chase is like, you just can't like recreate this scenario where
no.
the accomplishment is thrown into a massive.
There's
people.
No other sport where that is a piece of memorabilia that a fan can actually get. Like, there's no way you're getting the puck. You're not getting the football unless someone throws the football into the stands, which has happened before.
It's the only sport where you're trying
to go get the golf ball out of the hole.
You're trying to put something out of play.
Trevor from Tottenham. This ball has the ability to change the life of somebody that was not gifted, possibly the largest contract the MLB to come. Sell it.
Exactly. I mean, like, these opportunities don't come around, man. Like, they don't. It's tough. It's tough out there for people trying to buy a house or do this and that. You're just giving away a down payment, giving away something that can take care of your family. We got to live in the real world here.
Bill from Bob Cajun. This one's good. That kid sounds like a robot planted there by the Yankees organization and the government. Mike from Brampton. I would give the ball back 100%. It's history. I wouldn't expect anything back. If you wanted to give me something, that's fine. I don't know. I'm not changing my perspective.
Things change when 500,000 sheets lands in yeah. your lap. Or you have to literally fight off 500 people to get that ball. The pileup was just ridiculous.
It's going to be worse. Honestly, they need to have some sort of like ambulance on deck, security on deck. It's going to be crazy. We won't even get to see it because it'll be on Apple TV.
Yeah, I don't know what the move is once you get the ball. Like, you've got to find Yankee staff.
You can't
staff.
Be sitting in
you've got to stay in the ballpark till like yeah. everybody else is left. Dangerous.
Matt from Kitchener. I would have tossed the ball back on the field. It's kind of safe. Then Aaron Judge can do whatever he wants with it. Throw it back in the stands. Last one. Catch low, sell high. Sean from Guelph. Nice. It's the motto. Good luck, Yankees fans, going into the stretch here. The grind. Best of luck. Honestly, buckle up. Wear some gear. Like, put your running
Full
shoes
armor
on.
Armor out there.
Like, how I'm going to prepare when I get home today to walk up those stairs, 28 flights of stairs yeah. in about 3 hours. That's going to be people preparing to go to the Yankees game to catch that historic ball. We're all grinding. Let's take a break. Luke Fox, after the break, he'll be grinding down at day one of Leafs training camp today. Let's get his thoughts on what was said and what was not said yesterday at Media Day. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ayler, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.